Yep. Welcome everybody to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Bolak. The entire year the Shiurim are being given L'Zeicha Nishmas Ula Ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, the Neshama Tehera Zohobin Alichtige Lichtige Gan Eden. It's a big schus that we're able to learn the parasha each and every week, and we do it in hoping that we're able to be machazik each other, to appreciate the pshatim, it should make us better people, and of course, to enhance our Shabbos kodesh, share the divrei Torah on Shabbos, tell it to a friend, say it over at the Suda, share it with someone, and let us have an inspirational Shabbos kodesh, to be able to learn parashas Balak, parasha insights here, on the phone, and those who eventually listen to the recording, a very, very big schus. Obviously, when we start talking about Parshas Balak, I would imagine that the first thing that comes to mind, the wickedness of Bilam. We know that Balak wants Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. And what seems to be the most astonishing fact regarding Bilam, and I guess you see this a number of times in the parsha, time and time again, he should have taken the signal. He should have understood, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And yet, what did he do? He presses on, he forges on, as if it's nothing, but he wants to carry on with his mission to curse Klal Yisrael, even though time and time something gets in the way. That should be a signal and a sign. Something is impeding your journey. He had a very faithful donkey. The donkey acted in a very erratic way. The donkey was here and there and running. Bilam hits the donkey, of course, because the donkey saw the malach, which Bilam did not. But upon being hit, the donkey speaks and says to Bilam, did I ever behave this way? Bilam, do you not understand these as signs? Do you not understand that you're being shown and told and your donkey is talking to you? Time and time again, it's a simon. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing. The donkey presses up against the wall, the matseva, crushing Bilam's leg. But this wasn't just any matseva. It was the matseva that was a bris in agreement between Bilam's grandfather, Lavan, and Yaakov. That was Bilam's grandfather. Lavan and Yaakov made a treaty. And their descendants wouldn't harm each other. That's precisely what Bilam was violating. A grandson of Lavan, he was seeking to curse Klal Yisrael and to harm the Jews. It's up against that very matseva, that which was the sign between his grandfather and Yaakov Avinu. And even that, you still don't get it? That has to be one of the most extraordinary takeaways about Bilam HaRasha. That time and time and time again, and he just seems to be totally oblivious. There's a powerful maisa that they say over, I assume it's meant as a parable, about a fellow who at a young age became fabulously wealthy, and he got himself an extraordinary fancy car. He's driving down the street in this very, very expensive car, and all of a sudden, racing down the street, feeling all good about himself, a brick comes flying into his car and makes an enormous dent. He jumps out and he's literally yelling. And he sees on the corner that there's a kid hiding behind the car. The chutzpah, the audacity of that kid threw a brick and damaged and made such a dent in my brand new car. I'm so wealthy. I made so much money. I have such an exquisite car. How dare he? And he grabs the boy. And the boy says, please, mister, don't be upset at me. I didn't have a choice but to throw the brick. And he showed him that next to him was his brother, who was in a wheelchair, and his brother rolled off the curb, and he on his own could not pick his brother up from the street. He needed help, but nobody was stopping. He had no way to get anybody's attention. Nobody was paying him any heed at all. He said, I was left with no choice but to throw the brick to get you to stop. And now that you did, please, could you help my brother who can't get up out of the wheelchair on the street and help me? And of course the fellow did. And his walk back to his car was a lot longer than the walk from the car when he was yelling at the boy. Because he got to thinking, good and hard, and he started to wonder, maybe he too was racing through life so quickly, and maybe he was oblivious to so many people and so many things and so many signs and so many messages. Sometimes it takes a brick to get a person to stop. And he, as the story goes on, did not fix the dent in the car. It should be a reminder to him. He didn't want it to breathe, that it was only a brick that got him to slow down and to think. And the truth is that that's what's taking place with Bilam. He's just going on and on with his mission, which he knows is clearly incorrect. But this isn't a sign, and this is not a sign. Oblivious, not the foot getting crushed up against the Matseva that was from Yaakov and from Lavan. Sometimes, though, we have to apply the Bilam syndrome to us. Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaverei as well. I know it's a maisa that we've said over many, many times, but I think it's so totally appropriate and applicable. A number of years ago on an Arab Shabbos, I was on my way to Philadelphia, and I was sitting on the plane in the front row on the left-hand side. That means that if I'm in the first row, and I know many of you know this story, diagonally in front of me was a flight attendant. Half an hour before landing in Philadelphia, she takes the microphone, and she starts making the announcements that we've heard countless times. As you could see, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign, indicating our initial descent. So please make sure that your tray table is stowed away and your seat is in the upright position. Your seatbelt is flat and tight across your lap. Make sure your luggage is stowed away if things may have shifted in flight as we begin our initial descent into. And then she leans forward and says, where are we headed again? And I said, Philadelphia? And she continues her announcements as we head into Philadelphia. Please enjoy the rest of your flight. She then comes over to me. I guess she figured out I was a rabbi. And she says, Rabbi, I want to thank you so much. You see, I do this trip so often coming and going, I don't remember where I'm headed. And I laughed along with her. And then when she turned around, I really started to cry. Because sometimes it takes a flight attendant 35,000 feet in the air to remind you, do we remember where we're headed? Sometimes we're so busy and busy and busy and busy and busy that we need to be reminded about our Bein Adam La'atzmai, our Bein Adam La'chaveiroi, our Bein Adam La'mokim. Rabbi Say, if you take a look at the Mesilas Yesharim that Ramchal brings down in the second parak on the words by Mitzrayim that what Paro did to us was Tichbor HaAvoida, he intensified the labor. We tend to think, what does it mean intensifying the labor? Backbreaking work. If you take a look, the Ramchal says it means he kept us so busy with such menial work so we would not stop and think, what am I doing in this world? What's my purpose in this world? If you take a look, every time we've been in a Golus, Mitzrayim, and in the Purim story, and the Hanukkah story, you'll see time and time again, Hatzad HaShovah Shebehen, the commonality between each and every Golus is that the enemy essentially at the core wants to keep us so busy and busy and busy that we don't stop and think about our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our relationship with our family. That's the Bilam syndrome. That's the Bilam syndrome of being so busy and pressing on with your mission, although you could be told and shown time and time again, your donkey is talking to you. But the Bilam syndrome is that I'm going to forge on and be totally, totally oblivious to all the signs, to that which my friends are showing me, Hashem is showing me. Until, like the man, it took the brick to be thrown for him to say, I'm not fixing that dent in the car because I, too, don't want to rush through life so quickly that I'm oblivious to Bein Adam La'atzmai, Bein Adam La'makayim, Bein Adam La'chaveiroi. And we have to remind ourselves in all that we do about the Bilam syndrome not to be so busy. I know that we've said over in the past a very, very powerful mashal, but it's certainly something that's worth repeating. I get chizuk from it, and hopefully you will as well, about a fellow who wanted to be noticed and recognized. So he went to the top of a very, very tall building, opened up the window, and he had a large stack of $20 bills. He undid the rubber band, and he had thousands of these $20 bills, and he let them flow and drop to the ground. So you could imagine how gracefully they started to snowflake towards the ground. But unfortunately, nobody looked up to see where they were coming from. They just grabbed from north and south, east and west, all of the money. Nobody looked up, and he's thinking, why are they not recognizing me? He says, maybe I need to use $50 bills. So he takes a large stack of $50 bills, he undoes the rubber band, and he lets them slowly cascade hundreds of feet to the ground. And again, people start running from the north and the south and the east and the west. And nobody looked up. How do you get noticed? How does anybody acknowledge you? Oh, because it wasn't $100 bills. And he does the same thing with the $100 bills. Imagine thousands of $100 bills snowflaking and cascading towards the ground, hundreds of feet, and people are coming from the north and the south and the east and the west, and they're grabbing and grabbing and grabbing, and nobody's looking up. Why don't I get noticed? And then he says, he sees that on a table there was a large, large crystal vase. He opens up the window. He takes this enormous vase, and with all his might, he throws it out the window, and it's with incredible strength, like a rocket that goes down, crashes, a thunderous crash in the ground, and everybody looked up. Where did that come from? Because in life, too, when there's a thunderous crash, we all look up. And when there is that brick, chalila, or that crash, be it psychological, financial, emotional, whatever it might be, people look up. And that's what we're supposed to do, of course, to realize our relationship with Hashem. But when all of those brachos are being put on our heads and everything is snowflaking into our lives, I don't mean 20s and 50s and 100s. I'm talking about the brachos of Parnas and Gesund and Shidduchim and Shalom Bayis and all of the countless blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Do we look up then? To only look up when there's a thunderous crash, and of course we look up then, because we have no one on whom to rely other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. But is that the only time we look up? When the brick makes the dent in the car? That's suffering from the Bilam-esque syndrome. Do we only look up when there's a thunderous crash? What about when all of the brachos, haksuvos b'Torah, all of the blessings are coming into our lives? Daily, nisim, neflois, and toivois, do we look up then, or are we too busy? There's a very, very powerful pshat I saw about 20 years ago on Megillas Rus. I'm telling you in advance, it's an extremely powerful, powerful pshat. But I feel it needs to be said to help us in the three areas I mentioned, Ben Adam La'atzvei, Ben Adam La'chaver, Ben Adam La'machayim. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Megillas Rus where Naomi says, Ani malei halachti v'reikem hashivani Hashem. She's talking about the fact that when she left 10 years earlier, she had so much, and now when she's returning 10 years later, she doesn't have her husband, she doesn't have her children, and she doesn't have her wealth. Listen to the wording again. Ani melea halachti v'reikam hashivani Hashem. So I once heard this almost frightening explanation. Sometimes in life, ani melea, a person becomes male, filled with so many blessings and wonderful things, but as a result of it, halachti, he starts going on a way that he shouldn't. He almost becomes unrecognizable. He's using those gifts, but he's not using them, he's abusing them. And he's no longer focusing on Bein Adam La'atzmai, bein adam lachaveiram bein adam lamalchum. Sometimes when a person becomes malei and they experience extraordinary success in a potpourri of ways, halachti, they go on a way that becomes unrecognizable. So sometimes, unfortunately, v'reikam, that person becomes empty, meaning that person may not at times be able to appreciate and still get those gifts. Why? Heshivani Hashem, so that you return to Hashem and you go back to the path and we do what we're supposed to do. I know it's a very frightening shot, but imagine that concept, Maleo. Sometimes when a person becomes male, halachti, they don't use, they abuse, they start to squander, they forget Hashem, they forget the people in their lives, they forget to work on their own avodah. So what happens? Bereikum. Sometimes they become empty, those things are taken away. That's the brick in life. That's the thunderous crash. That's the Bilam-esque syndrome. Heshivani Hashem. So the person returns to themselves, returns to their family and chevra, and returns to Avodas Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I certainly hope that as we learn Parshas Balak, we literally internalize this lesson of Bilam. Don't be so busy. Don't rush and rush and rush till sometimes it takes that brick or whatever it might be, the crash or the berekum, to remind us to do the right thing. Adarabba va'adarabba, while we're experiencing the brachas of Hashem, while they're being placed upon us, and I don't mean, as I said, the 2050s and hundreds, I'm talking about all of the brachas for which we beseech Hashem every day, Rifa'enu, Shlachlonu, Barechaleinu, Shmachaleinu, Birshalayim Yircha. Now approaching the 3 weeks, how we beg for these things. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're working on the three that we've mentioned, Bein Odom LaChaveira, Bein Odom LaMachom, and Bein Odom LaAtzmai, so that we merit that we're able to continue, not abusing, but using. That we appreciate, that we're able to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're not too busy to enjoy properly all of these matanos l'avodas habayrei. That would be not just learning Parshas Balak, but mamish internalizing tiferayin deep this powerful lesson of Bilam HaRasha. If a person takes a look, there's an extraordinary pasuk in the parasha. In Chav Dalet Hey is, of course, the well-known pasuk, Ma Toivo Elecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisrecha Yisrael. Again, Chav Dalet, that was Hey. That's a pasuk that we say every day in davening. If you want, interestingly enough, take a look in what was originally the curses of Bilam, but subsequently were turned into brachos. Take a look how many times you find the switching of the name Yaakov Yisrael, Hibit Avim B'Yaakov, B'Loi Ram of the Yisrael, Matoibo Elecha Yaakov, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. Look at how many times there is the changing from Yaakov to Yisrael again and again. But take a look now at Pasuk Vav. Vav seems to be talking about different types of beautiful plants and rivers, Kinicholim Nitayu, stretching out like a brook. Keganos alei nohar, like a garden by a river. Ka'olim nata Hashem, like an aloe planted by Hashem. Ka'arozim alei mayim, like a cedar by the water. I just read the pasuk. It seems to be four references turned into brachos of beautiful brooks and gardens and aloes and cedars. I want to share with you, Rabbi, from now till the end of the shir, a pshat from the great, the Heilige Arachayim HaKadosh. And I hope you realize that in just 2 days on Tezvav Tammuz, on the 15th of Tammuz, Tezvav Tammuz is the yard site of the Arachayim HaKadosh. On a personal level, my father's Atzal, we heard and grew up with this pshat hundreds and hundreds of times. He so enjoyed saying over this pshat from the Heilige Arachayim HaKadosh that I'm about to share with you based on this Pasuk of Parshas Balak. And it's made even more special and appropriate because in 2 days, Tesvav Tammuz is his yard site. The Arachayim HaKadosh says, and it's Kedai, look it up inside. Look up inside the Arachayim HaKadosh on this pasuk. He says, well, of course, literally it's referring to four types of gardens and brooks and aloes and cedar, but it's a metaphor and a reference to four types of tzaddikim. Four groups and types of tzaddikim. And they're actually in order from the first level down to the fourth level. All tzaddikim, all extraordinary, albeit, but on different levels. Take a look at the first one, Kinecholim Nitoyu, stretching out like a brook. The Heleg Arachayim HaKadosh tells us that what is it that classifies something as a brook of water? A brook of water is not just water that remains stationary, but the brook goes and flows from place to place and city to city. That's what a brook of water does. It goes downstream. Here, mile after mile, from one city to another, a brook continues to flow. Kinecholim Nitoyu, that's the top level of tzaddik, says the Heleg Arachayim HaKadosh, that's the one, the tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, that learns, but goes out to spread the Torah, like we spoke about last week, from the word Kilakach Matzarta, and Atzarta is the letters of Tzinayreis, to go out and spread the beauty. The Arachayim HaKadosh says, like Shmuel HaNavi, who went from place to place to place, spreading the beauty of Hashem's Torah, spreading the beauty of Hashem's ways. The first one, Kinecholim Nitoyu, like a brook goes, and the stream provides, and of course, the stream, the water, is a reference to Torah, which is Mayim. It brings from its beautiful, luscious waters from place to place. That's like Shmuel HaNavi, the highest level of the tzaddik, the one who learns the Torah but then spreads the Torah by going and going and going and going and bringing all those closer to Avinu Sheba Shemayim. The second level tzaddik, Kiganais Alei Nahar, like a garden by the river. A garden is beautiful. A garden could have the most luscious fruits. This type of tzaddik is extraordinary. He doesn't have quite the level of the first one in the sense that he learns, and he learns, and he's a very righteous person. But if you want to enjoy from his peiros, like the garden, you must come and pick the peiros. You must come to enjoy. Again, it's an extraordinary level, but what the first has over the second is that the first one goes out. The second one, like a garden by the river, is an extraordinary level of tzaddik, but one that is there, learns, and if you want to come and appreciate, you approach the garden, you approach the tzaddik. The third level, Kaholim Nata Hashem, like an aloe planted by Hashem. Aholim over here is also from the word oihel. And an oihel is, of course, a tent. And we always find the metaphor and euphemism of a tent, a reference to the tent of Torah. Sitting in the oihel shel Torah, last week we spoke out, Adam ki yomos ba'oihel, in Parshas Chukas, and there we spoke about the oihel of Torah. This is the third level of tzaddik. Not quite like the first two. It's a tzaddik as well, but this one is like in an oihel, learning and learning and sitting and learning. But the first two have over this level that they continue to provide and spread the beauty to others, either like the second level, those who approach it, or like the ultimate, the first level, where one goes out and spreads the beauty. So this third level, yes, it's a tzaddik who sits in the oil, who's a rangatan and learning, but for himself, and not necessarily like the first two levels, where it's also being appreciated by others. And then you have the fourth level, karozim ale moyim. Erez is, of course, a cedar, representing the mighty, like we say, Arze HaLavonon, representing the mighty cedar, which is the strength, and that says the Arachayim HaKadosh is referring to the Machzike Torah, those who support, their strength supports their learning, Avad is one of the four. These are all groups of tzaddikim. All groups of four different types of tzaddikim, all with a different mission. But the Archaim HaKadosh says you have the first level, and then down to the fourth level, the Machzikei Torah, those who support the Torah learning, like the Erez, like the Arze Halavanain. That strength is a reference to those who support the Torah HaKadosh. As we said a moment ago, four different types, each one with a particular mission, and the Archaim HaKadosh lists them in levels from the greatest, the first, down to the fourth. It's extraordinary that in Klal Yisrael, we look around and we take a see those that are the Kinicholim Nitoyu, those that are the Kiganis Alei Nohar, the Ka'olim Nota Hashem, Ka'arozim Alei Moyen, each one fulfilling a particular purpose and a tafkid. We've spoken out many times in the Shutzpis of Yisachar and Zvulun, the one who learns and the one who supports. Many pshat that we've spoken out of Meshech Chokhma. I've said countless pshat them from my father's atzal. Countless stories. Without the Yisachar, there wouldn't be a Zavulun. And similarly, without a Zavulun, there wouldn't be the Yisachar. Each one fulfilling their tafkid, and each one being the Machzik Torah, the Marbitz Torah. There's a maisa that we've said over. I'll just say two maises to conclude the shir from different ends of the spectrum just to show you. Many, many years ago, there was a particular couple that was being supported by her father. The shver was supporting them for him to be able to learn. And after a number of years, a wonderful position came, I believe, in the Rabbonis, and he wanted to take it. She said, let's ask my father. They went to the father-in-law who was supporting them, and he said, please, I want you to continue learning. I want to keep supporting you. Don't take it. And this repeated itself a number of times, two or three times over about a decade, and he begged them, I want to continue supporting you. And then after a number of years, an extraordinary offer came up in the Rabbonis, and they made up their mind they were taking it. They weren't even asking questions, and they went to say goodbye to the Shver, to her father, and he begged them to stay. Their mind was made up. And then as they were leaving, he said, please remember, mi yodeya, mi machazik es mi. You never know who's supporting whom. And they really didn't understand the profundity of what he was trying to tell them. And they went to the city and they accepted the position. And on that first day that they started the new position, a telegram came to the young couple that her father had suddenly passed away. And that's when they understood the depth and profundity of what he was saying. Mi yodeya mi machazik es mi. We never really know who's supporting whom. We thought all those years that his money was supporting us. In actuality, what he was telling us was that our Torah learning was supporting him. Mi yodeya, mi machazik es mi. That's the shutvis, the partnership, the two-way between Zvulun and Yisachar. Yisachar and Zvulun. Mi yodeya, mi machazik es mi. And finally, how could we not end with a story? I know you'll be thinking, here in the room, those on the phone, and those who will listen to the recording, it's probably one of the most famous stories we've ever said. In the yeshiva world, it's considered one of the most famous stories in the last 100 years. But Mayrai V'Raboisai, how could I not say that maisa to explain the concept of what the Archaim HaKadosh just taught us? So if we've heard the story 1,000 times, let it be 1,001. How 70 years ago in 1951 on an Erev Shabbos, my father's atzal was walking on a wide boulevard in Tel Aviv, Rehov Allenby, and he saw across the street, you know the Maisa, he saw across the street the green wooden kiosk. A kiosk is where they sell outdoors papers and chocolate and drinks, and my father's atzal was very taken by the man who was operating the kiosk, an elderly yid with a flowing white beard, and he never stopped learning. My father got closer and saw he was learning Mishnayis Meiser Sheni. But he never took his eyes out of the Mishnayis. He gave the person the item, he took the money, gave the change, gave the bag, and he didn't stop learning. My father was astonished by this yid, and he went over and introduced himself. He asked him his name. I apologize. Before that, the young fellow came over and asked if he could buy cigarettes. I'm not getting into the health danger that's so obvious in the smoking of it. I'm telling you the story the way it happened. He said to the young man, Masha Akshab, what time is it? He said, 12:15. So the elderly man said, Slicha, Im kein ani lo mocheh sigariot achrei chatzot b'erev Shabbat. I'm not selling cigarettes after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos, because obviously he was afraid that the man will smoke it on Shabbos and Chilul Shabbos. Who is this special yid? My father went over, and the elderly man introduced himself as Yankel Ochsenkrug. He asked my father his name. My father told him. He asked him where he's from. He's learning in Lakewood. Then he asked my father about somebody named Arkila Svislitzer. Was is geworden von em? What became of him? Arkila Svislitzer was a reference to the Tsar HaTorah, the prince of the Torah world, Reb Aaron Kotler, who was my father's Rosh Hashiva. Arkila Svislitzer, his name in his youth, Aaron, was Arkila, from his city of his youth, Svislitz. So he had asked my father, Was is geworden von em? I knew him as a bacher, what became of him? What became of him? My father told him he's the Tsar HaTorah, the prince of the Torah world, world Jewry, forever, forever, is changed, impacted, because of Reb Aaron. And the yid was crying tears of joy. My father asked him why. He said, decades ago, I was a butcher in Minsk, but I couldn't learn as often and as much as I wanted, so I made up that for every kilo of meat that I sell, I'll put a kopeka in a jar. A small coin. And over the number of years, I had sold thousands upon thousands of kilo of meat. So corresponding, I had in a number of large barrels, thousands and thousands of kopekas, a small coin. We would almost think it's so small, it's meaningless and inconsequential. After he had many of these barrels filled, he brought them to a local cheder and he said, I want you to send with these kopekas two boys, two bochrim with the Iluyisha heads to learn in Slabotka. And one of the two that went with the kopekas was Arkila Svislitzer, and that's why I asked, Was is geworden von ihm, what became of him? And my father stared. Here was a man that was responsible for Reb Aaron, the prince of the Torah world who impacted every single yid on the planet. World Jewry, the trajectory was changed because of Reb Aaron. The kopekas, one of the two that went was Reb Aaron. Decades later, when the Gadol Hador, the Pikeach Hador, Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, spent part of winters in Miami. So often on Wednesday evening, he ate supper and dinner in the home of my parents on Prairie Avenue. On one particular Wednesday evening when Reb Yankiv came for supper, beforehand my father was talking to Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky in his office on Prairie Avenue, and he started to tell Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky this mitzvah with Arkila Svislitzer, and how one of the two bochum that went with the kopekas was Reb Aaron. And Reb Yankiv stopped my father and he says, yes, yes, Reb Mordecha, that's exactly the way the story goes, and I know. Because I was the second boy that went with those kopekas. A man's kopekas were responsible for Reb Aaron and for Reb Yankiv. And as we said, the trajectory of world and Jewish history was changed forever because of those kopekas, because they add up. Those kopekas were responsible for Aaron and Reb Yankiv. And that ties together all of the groups that the Rechaim HaKadosh spoke about. Karozim Alei Moyim, those Machzikei Torah, who have the privilege to support Torah learning, and to be able to create the kinecholim nitoyu, the kiganas aleinar, the ka'olim not Hashem, all coming together in Klal Yisrael to service the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should talk of Yizoich, especially as the yard site approaches of the Arachayim HaKadosh, the Chusu Yogan Aleinu, to be able to fit into these different groups of tzaddikim, to be like the brooks, and to be like the Gan, and to be like the Aholim, to be like the Arzei Levonoin. Mi yoideya mi machazik es mi. Klal Yisrael needs each other. We should be there for each other, and we should, as we said in the beginning, take the time to work on bein odom la'atzmoi, bein odom la'chazeroi, and bein odom la'mokoim. And to be zeich as we approach the 3 weeks that they turn, as we said last week, may evel yomtif, and from choshech to ar hagadol.